Chapter 11. One Voice, Pathfinding, Shared Vision, Values, and Strategy. Think about this brief excerpt from Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll. One day Alice came to a fork in the road and saw a Cheshire cat in a tree. "Which road do I take?" she asked. His response was a question, "Where do you want to go?" "I don't know," Alice answered. Then said the cat, "It doesn't matter." Remember, acquiring the eighth habit is an inside-out sequential process. Like any habit, it is a combination of attitude, skill, and knowledge. We've discussed the attitude of trim-tabbing initiative. We've discussed the skills of building trust and seeking third alternatives. The four roles of leadership represent third alternative leadership and influence. They give you knowledge of the principles of transformational leadership. Again, this influence begins with modeling trustworthiness so that people will have confidence in you. But as you know, they need more than your trustworthiness, because good intentions do not compensate for bad judgment. People need a model to see how they can work and lead in a different way, different from what they are used to, different from the culture of the organization they work in, different from the controlling transactional traditions of the industrial age. Your most important modeling will be to show others how a person who has found his or her voice acts inside the other three primary roles of a leader: pathfinding, aligning, and empowering. So to help you model these three roles, I will begin the chapters covering the three remaining roles of leadership by first identifying the myth and the reality that surrounds each role, and second, describing three contrasting alternatives for approaching each role. The key in any challenge, of course, is to always seek the higher third alternative. In this chapter, we take on the leadership challenge of uniting people who are diverse in their strengths and ways of seeing the world into one voice, one great purpose. It's the role of pathfinding, shared vision, values, and strategic priorities. Let's begin by looking first at the pathfinding myth, reality, and alternatives. Here is the myth: that mission statements and strategic priorities are developed by those who know best, that is, the people at the top. That's the old paradigm. But here is the reality. Mission statements and strategic priorities that are developed in a rush by those at the top and then announced are forgotten. Without involvement or strong identification, there will be no commitment. That is the new paradigm. So the first alternative to the pathfinding role of leadership would be to announce vision, values, and strategy to your team or organization without any real involvement on their part. The second alternative would be to get excessive involvement and get bogged down in paralysis by analysis and committee-itis, have extensive off-sites and endless discussions, almost working on the assumption that you don't need to execute strategy or to empower. The third alternative would be to not only reasonably involve people in the process of developing the vision, mission, and strategy, but also recognize that if you build a strong enough culture of trust and are personally trustworthy yourself, the power of identification is equal to the power of involvement. Allow me to illustrate this third alternative. I've been long amazed at the consistent, absolutely extraordinary levels of service I've received while staying at Ritz-Carlton hotels. As I've become better acquainted over the years with Horst Schulze, the hotel chain's former longtime president and COO, I better understood how their remarkable culture was created. Under Schulze's direction, the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company won an unprecedented 2 Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Awards in the service category. I once interviewed Horst for an internationally syndicated column I was writing. I asked him, How would you define leadership? Here was his response. Leadership is creating an environment in which people want to be part of the organization and not just work for the organization. Leadership creates an environment that makes people want to rather than have to do. It is a business imperative to create that environment. I must give purpose, not just work and function. As a business person, I am obligated to create an environment where people feel part of something, feel fulfilled, and have purpose. It is purpose. It is value in their lives that leads people to truly give of their minds. Then you are getting the maximum from them, and you are giving the maximum to the person. Anything less is irresponsible to the organization and demands more handling by the individual. He goes on, when you see people only as fulfilling a function, you're treating them like a thing, like the chair you're sitting on. I don't think we as humans can assume the right to do that. None of us want to be just something standing in a corner. We found the greatest satisfaction for an employee is to feel part of something and to feel trusted to make decisions and to contribute. Going on with this quote, everyone is a knowledge worker in their specific area, and undoubtedly the dishwasher has more knowledge about their situation than I have. So that dishwasher can contribute to the improved environment, work conditions, productivity, lack of dish breaking, etc. They can contribute their knowledge in their area tremendously. I had a young man from Nairobi who joined me as a dishwasher in the hotel about 16 years ago. He couldn't speak proper English, but he was very hardworking. After a while, they offered him a job in room service, then as a room service leader, then a lobby attendant, then a bartender. Then he became an assistant lobby manager. He's now the food and beverage director. He's the number two man in the hotel, and he started as a dishwasher. When I was 16 years old, my mother took me to the hotel with my little suitcase to begin my apprenticeship. There were all these important guests, and I thought they were all so above me. But I got close to a remarkable 70-year-old head waiter with whom I worked as an apprentice. When he moved into the room, you knew he was present. He was excellent, and there was an admiration for him. He always looked out for excellence in how he appeared, what he said, and how he did things. I saw in this maitre d' that if you do things exceptionally, you're just as important as they are. I realized that I could be just as important if I do what I do right, no matter what it is. In fact, that idea has become the motto of Ritz-Carlton. We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. Close quote. Over the past 22 years, we have surveyed some 5 million people, seeking to understand the characteristics and competencies of effective leaders and managers. One of the most striking findings from this vast study was this. Managers are typically rated high on work ethic, modeling, but low on their ability to provide focus and clear direction, pathfinding. As a result, people are neither clear about nor accountable to key priorities, and the whole organization fails to execute. The disconnect is this. People are working harder than ever, but because they lack clarity and vision, they aren't getting very far. They, in essence, are pushing a rope with all of their might. So whereas modeling inspires trust, pathfinding creates order without demanding it. As soon as the people involved agree upon what matters most organizationally, they share the criteria that will drive all decisions that follow. This clarifying communication gives focus. It creates order. It creates stability. It also creates agility, which we will explore later in the empowering role. So vision, on a personal scale, translates into pathfinding in an organizational setting. Whereas individually you identify what you see to be significant, Now your challenge and role is to create a shared view of what is significant, of what is important, of what matters most. Consider for a moment the following questions you might ask about your employees. Do people clearly understand the organizational goals? And are they committed? Helping people clearly understand and get committed to significant goals requires you to involve them in decision-making. Together, you determine the destination of the organization. That's vision and mission. Then everyone in the organization will have ownership in the path that leads to the destination. That deals with values and the strategic plan. In determining together what is most important to an organization or team, you need to come to grips with the realities you face. Once you understand those hard, cold realities, then together you work until a shared vision and value system are embodied in some kind of a mission statement and strategic plan. Speaking of the need to first become grounded in foundational realities, author Clayton M. Christensen wrote, "Every company and every industry works under certain forces, laws of organizational nature, that act powerfully to define what that company can and cannot do. Managers faced with disruptive technologies fail their companies when those forces overpowering them. By analogy, the ancients who attempted to fly by strapping feathered wings to their arms and flapping with all of their might as they leaped from high places invariably failed. Despite their dreams and hard work, they were fighting against some very powerful forces of nature. No one could be strong enough to win this fight. Flight became possible only after people came to understand the relevant natural laws and the principles that defined how the world worked. That is the law of gravity, Bernoulli's principle, and the concepts of lift, drag, and resistance. When people designed flying systems that recognized or harnessed the power of these laws and principles rather than fighting them, they were finally able to fly to heights and distances that were previously unimaginable. So in pathfinding, you must grapple first with four realities: market realities, core competencies, stakeholder wants and needs, and values, before you will fully comprehend and be prepared to execute the pathfinding role. Let's look at each one of these. First, market realities. How do people in your organization or team perceive the marketplace? What is the larger political, economic, and technological context? What's the competitive landscape like? What are the trends and characteristics of the industry? What about the possibility of disruptive technologies and disruptive business models that could make obsolete the entire industry or basic tradition? Now let's look at core competencies. What are your unique strengths? I'm very impressed with Jim Collins' approach to pathfinding. In his book, Good to Great, he presents three overlapping circles which represent your main strengths. He calls it the hedgehog concept. These circles identify three questions. What are you really good at? Maybe even what can you be best in the world at? Second, what are you deeply passionate about? And third, what will people pay for? In other words, what are the human needs and wants being met that would drive your economic engine? The nexus between these three overlapping circles represents the foundation of your value proposition. If we were to ask one more question, what does your conscience counsel? We would have a whole person approach: body, standing for the economic engine; mind, be best at; heart, passion; and spirit, conscience. The overlapping of all four areas is where your voice is to be found. As discussed before, this approach would apply to an individual finding his or her voice, as well as to an organization finding its voice. Now let's look at stakeholder wants and needs. Think of all the different stakeholders. First and most importantly, the target customers. What do they really want and need? What are their issues, problems, and concerns? What do their customers want and need? What is the market reality of the industry in which they operate? What possible technologies or business models could disrupt them or make them obsolete? What about the owners, those that have supplied the capital or paid the taxes? What are their wants and needs? What about the associates, the employees, your co-workers? What are their wants and needs? What about all of the suppliers, distributors, and dealers, the entire supply chain? What about the community and the natural environment? Now let's look at values. What are these people's values? What are your values? What is the central purpose of the organization? What is the central strategy in accomplishing that purpose? What job are they hiring you to do? What are the values that are to serve as guidelines? How are they prioritized in different contexts in times of stress and pressure? Most people have never even decided what matters most to them. They haven't developed the criteria that will inform and govern all of the decisions. And now we're trying to do it for an entire group, team, or organization. Think how complex that is, how interdependent, really how challenging. These are the kinds of questions and issues that must be clarified before you can focus. That is why it takes such character and competence. That is, vision, discipline, and passion, governed by conscience. Pathfinding is the toughest undertaking of all because you deal with so many diverse personalities, agendas, perceptions of reality, trust levels, and egos. This underscores why modeling is the most important and central governing role. If people cannot trust the person and or team initiating the pathfinding process, there will be no identification and involvement will be very dysfunctional. You see, it took the modeling character and the competence of a George Washington to integrate and harmonize the brilliance and differences of a Thomas Jefferson, a John Adams, a Benjamin Franklin, an Alexander Hamilton, and other founding fathers of the American Republic, until finally the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution, with its first 10 amendments, called the Bill of Rights, were produced. Accomplishing this pathfinding work was the toughest of all tasks in founding the United States of America. But those visionary guiding documents have enabled the United States to survive major traumas to its national life. The Civil War, the Great Wars, the Vietnam War, Watergate, presidential scandals, and presidential elections. And talk about empowerment. 4.5% of the world's population produce almost a third of the world's goods.